Hello and welcome to this week's edition of Word Journey. Word Journey is a platform where we gather to learn how to go about our life pursuits according to the Word of God. So if it's your desire to learn how to live your life in a manner that is pleasing to God, you are in the right place. Our approach every week on Word Journey is that we take a topical issue, search the scriptures to understand the mind of God about those issues that we may adapt our lives accordingly. Now, if this is your first time joining us on Word Journey, you have done a good thing. However, we don't want you to miss out on all the goodies we have to offer you on Word Journey. Now, this is the 24th episode of Word Journey, and what it means is that since December 25th, when we started Word Journey, we have been showing up every week with a new episode, and you don't want to miss out on all of those teachings. So you can access every single one of them when you visit Venerable Bona's website. That's ihaniobona.com. It's equally available for you to stream them on your favorite podcast platforms: Spotify, Anchor FM, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, Radio Republic, Amazon Music, even Audible. Yes. So you can go there, and when you get to any of those platforms, just search for Word Journey of Ihaniobona and you'll be able to find it. This week on Word Journey, we want to learn about an instruction that Jesus Christ gave to his disciples, which is to be the light of the nation. So how do we shine as light? What does it even mean to be a light? This world, is there really darkness in this our present world, or there was just darkness in Jesus' time? If there is darkness, is it possible to have enough light to shine that the darkness will disappear? These are questions we are asking today on Word Journey, and we hope that in the course of our search for the scripture, we'll be able to find answers to these questions. Now, as usual, every week I have a guest who sits with me to answer questions around these topics. I will tell you about my guest when we come back after this short break. So please stick around.
Our faith in Christ did not just reconcile us to God. It ushered us into the Christ kingdom, where the Bible viewpoint is supreme. A genuine member of the kingdom is the one whose lifestyle is guided by Bible principles. On what journey? We search the scriptures to learn the mind of God so that we may conform our lifestyle to it. Welcome to Word Journey. I am your brother in Christ, Venerable Ihaniobona.
Welcome back to Word Journey. My guest for this week's edition of Word Journey is Venerable Ihaniobona, who is a servant of God that believes that as Christ is elevated, lives are liberated. And he's committed to teaching the Word of God across different platforms with the hope that God will use these words that he's teaching to transform the lives of men. Venerable, thank you very much for joining us on the 24th episode of Word Journey.
Thank you, and may the name of the Lord be praised.
Jesus Christ, in his days, charged Christians to shine as light in the world. But then the question is there really darkness in the world, especially the world we live in today? Or there was darkness in his world that he needed people to shine as light? Or do we have enough light today that Christians really don't have need to start shining as light?
We will be taking these questions by reading the scriptures, since it is not an answer from simply what is happening around us. When they say light of the world, there is enough light in the world in terms of electricity, but we are not talking about electrical light now. We are talking about spiritual light, which Christ asked his people to be. So let's quickly read from Matthew chapter 24, verse 12 and 13, and then we'll go to read other scriptures. Very quickly, we are reading Matthew chapter 24, 12 to 13. Sin will be rampant everywhere, and the love of many will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. Then Matthew chapter 5, 14 to 16. I'll be reading from New King James Version. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. In John chapter 8 verse 12, Jesus applies the title to himself while debating with the Jews and states, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Let's talk about this question now. Christians are charged to shine as light in the world. Is the world really in darkness? Yes. We are talking about spiritual light now. If it is not true, there would be no need for any light. Jesus says, "I am the light." If there is no need for light, then there is no need for Jesus coming and saying, "I am the light of the world." There is darkness, hence there is need for light. He said, "Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness." And let it be straight now. Any man, any woman that is not following Jesus is walking in darkness. You may have 1 million bulbs in your house. You may generate the best electricity in any country in the world. As long as that country, that man, that woman is not following Christ, that man is walking in darkness. That nation is walking in darkness. So again, we will take on John chapter 12 verse 46. "I have come as a light into the world. Whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness." That's another thing. The first one says, whoever follows me, whoever, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness. Now Jesus says, "I have come as light. Whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness." Following Jesus, you walk in light. Believing in Jesus Christ, you also walk in light. When you don't follow him, you are in darkness. When you don't believe in him, you are in darkness. So this is the darkness we are talking about. And in Ephesians chapter 6 verse 12, it says, "For we are not contending against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against spiritual wickedness in the present dark world." Hear it now. We are not contending against flesh and blood in this world, but against principalities, against the powers, against the world rulers of this present darkness, against spiritual host of wickedness in the heavenly places. This is telling us that what we are referring here is spiritual. It's not physical. Physically, there is light in the day. God gave us the sun. There is light in the night. God gave us the moon. And by the works of the hands of men, electricity was developed. Bulbs everywhere. There is light. But spiritual light is lacking. Hence, there is darkness in the spirit. And to clear that darkness is what Jesus has come to do. He made it clear. "I have come to translate men from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his son."
Okay, now, when you said if you are not following Christ as a person or as a nation, then you are living in darkness. Somebody will say that some of these countries were called developed nations, they have seen light. That's why there's advancement in their technology, advancement in education, advancement in the way they run their system. I say that if there are nations who have made this advancement but they don't follow Christ, they are living in darkness.
Yes. I repeat, darkness is spiritual. It's not a matter of what the attainment of an individual or a nation. Any nation that is not following Christ, any individual that is not following Christ, any nation that do not believe in Christ, any man, any woman, any boy, any girl who do not believe or follow Christ is walking in darkness. No matter your academic attainment, no matter your technological development, you are walking in darkness. Then you may even simply ask, what is this walk of darkness? What is walking in darkness? What do you actually mean? So that you understand that it's not a matter of developing bomb, going to the moon, exploring the whole universe. It's not a matter of developing artificial intelligence. It's not. These things are good. And it all comes from God, who grants us the wisdom to develop them, yet we walk in darkness. Now, it is good for us to look at Romans chapter 13, verse 12 and 13, possibly. It says, and this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Let's put another point clear. Walking in the light is walking in righteousness. Walking in darkness is allowing evil to rule your life. Any nation that allows evil to reign is walking in darkness. Any man, any human that allows evil to reign in his life or her life is walking in darkness. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. This is darkness. And what are they? Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and the sins like this. These are what it means to walk in darkness. You may be the richest man on planet Earth, the richest country on planet Earth. Whatever you want, you have them. But if you are living in wild parties, drunkenness, division, envy, Christianity is not a religion, but a way of life. But the funny thing is that in our own times, people practice religiosity rather than Christianity. There are two different things. I've said this so many times. But so when you are when you are a Christian, your way of life is like the way, the truth and the light. Say, Christ says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. So, and if you follow him, you are walking in the way. You are the truth. You are the life. There is light in you. There is no darkness. That's just the thing. It's a matter of who are you following? And if you're not following Christ, who do you believe? If you don't believe Christ, you are in darkness, no matter what you have. America now, as a nation, is walking in darkness. No matter
these are the people that brought religion to us.
Thank you. You say they brought religion, but they did not bring Christianity.
No, what I mean is that the gospel came
through them. Fine and good. But today, another point to make clear is that you may begin by walking in the light and end up walking in darkness. That is backsliding. That is living the faith. America, God's own country. That's what they call themselves.
Yes.
Fine. No doubt about that. But their way of life today, is it still a way of life that believes in Christ, that follows Christ? When men and men are being married, a woman is married to a woman. A woman will want to be married to a beast. So this is the works of darkness. This works of darkness makes the world to be in darkness instead of following the light of God and the way of Christ.
Now, a lot of people who say no, that Americans and some of those countries who refer to as developed nations, they are the ones walking in light and we're walking in darkness. They say that if we are walking in light, how come we have not, the light we seem to have is not giving us our ability, is not helping us advance in some areas. They say they are walking in life because they allow everybody to live their life the way they want. They are liberals. Like you are talking about man marrying man in America and some of those European countries. So is it correct to say that it's because they have advanced in the amount of light they have seen that they realize that men, human beings just do as they want and there's no point restraining them?
It's good, again, we make this point clear. Advancement in technology do not show advancement in spirituality. Darkness we are talking about here is spiritual darkness, not physical darkness. We have developed computer. There is airplane. There is bomb that can destroy the whole world. There is cruise ships in the oceans. No, these things are wonderful. But spiritual darkness is what we are talking here. Those developments without Christ is evil, spiritually evil.
Now, from what you just described, now there is a lot of darkness in the world.
Yes.
Not just in Jesus' time, but even in our present
time. Yes.
Now, Jesus charged his disciples to shine as light in the midst of darkness. What exactly does it mean for them to shine as light? Is it to join United Nations to start working on, okay, let's stop promotion of bad sexual orientation? What exactly are they, how do we go about this assignment of shining as light?
In practical terms, Jesus is simply asking his followers to manifest the fruit of the Spirit wherever they are. In Galatians chapter 5 verse 22, but the fruit the Holy Spirit produces is this in our lives: joy, love, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness. This is in simple terms, manifestation of the fruit of the Spirit in the lives of a Christian. You are shining as light, because you cannot manifest the fruit of the Spirit wherever you are and you are in darkness. Now, but that is for Galatians chapter 5, 22. Another place that, you know, in the Bible, light means a lot of things. It's a symbol of holiness.
Mm-hmm.
When you are living a holy life, you are shining as light. When your life is filled with goodness and knowledge, wisdom, grace, hope, and God's revelation, you are shining as light. Because Jesus, when he says in Matthew chapter 5, 16, verse 12, let your light shine before others, he's simply explaining something. You cannot have a light on a table and you talk about darkness. If the world is filled with drunkenness, filled with immoralities, and you are a holy person, you come among them, the holiness will reflect. And that's why the lamp is placed on a table and not covered with a basket. And then you know what the effect of light is. Every spark of light inside a dark room, what happens? The darkness gives way and light stands and gives light in the room. The same thing is what is expected of us as the children of God. That wherever we find ourselves, that our lives will affect the others. It is important for every believer to have a clear understanding of what he is when Jesus referred to him as light of the world. A simple instance is that he wants to reflect, he is the true light, wanting you to stand, and he reflects the light. You become a reflector of the light. But let's take an instance. You know the moon and the sun. You know, the moon has no light of its own,
yeah,
but reflects the light of the sun.
Mm.
As far as the world is concerned, the moon gives light in the night, the sun in the day.
Mm.
But who is the possessor of the light?
The sun.
Jesus is the possessor of the light. When he says, I am the light of the world, and if you believe in him, he dashes you the light to reflect to the world. You become an object reflecting the light. Simply, you are the moon. He wants you to just stand, believe in him, trust in him, follow him. Of your own, you can do nothing. The Spirit of God will help you, because this light is living the life. There is nothing that will make a child of God be joyful in diverse situations in this country. But what God wants you to reflect? Joy. Which joy? The joy that comes from the Holy Ghost. When you are reflecting, the world will call you stupid, because there is nothing good. There is nothing good that will come out of that situation. Mm. But they see you very joyful.
Okay, so essentially, the darkness in the world will be removed when the light shines, and the light comes from the followers of Christ.
Yes,
and it comes as they come to shine, allow their light shine in this darkness.
Yes,
I'm just wondering the amount of darkness that exists in this world, which some, if you haven't said it in the previous time, that the church is becoming more worldly than before. The amount of darkness that has even crept into church, do you think we have enough Christians who can shine as light, bright enough to drive away the darkness that exists in the world today? Or is it a hopeless case?
No, let's first of all get to the point when Jesus in Matthew chapter 9, 37, 38 said something before we go into the other aspect of it. In that place, Jesus said, he said to his disciples, The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord, who is in charge of harvest. Ask him to send more workers into his field. If we take this scripture the way it is, then, and the laborers are few, what it all means is that the Christians are not enough. I don't understand.
Yes, sir.
Taking this scripture. But now, but on the other way round, I said Christians are not few, but what is few is those that wants to do the work of the ministry, as where we read has charged us, laborers are few, harvest is plentiful. You know, there was an episode where I said the percentage of Christians all over the world, very insignificant.
Yeah, I think it's representing Christ in market.
Thank you. So now, again, when I said 12 apostles were recorded to have turned the world upside down in their own times, the light they allowed God to shine through them affected the world positively. And then people like Paul, Moses, Esther, Mordecai, Abraham, and Nehemiah, in their then little empires where they and towns and cities where they found themselves, the effect of the light of God in them changed situations of people into believing God. A man like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Daniel, shined as light in the kingdom of Babylon to the extent that a king pronounced that their God should be worshipped. Considering the number of Christians now on earth, I would say we have enough to affect the world, but we don't have enough that agrees to the work of ministry, to do the work of Christ on planet earth. Therefore, simply put, we are not enough.
Why don't some people agree to join to do this work of shining as light? Why would a Christian suppress the light that he has from shining?
No, the thing is, I don't know whether I will sit here to say that I have the capacity, the knowledge to give answers to this question. But very simply, are there things that can cover a believer's light? That's where I want to take it from. You are a child of God. You have believed in Christ as your Lord and personal Savior. What is it that can quench that light from shining out? That's where I'm coming from. Now, to some people, when you neglect the word of God, the church today is suffering because of the neglect of the word of God. Many Christians have not developed the discipline of reading and studying the word of God constantly. And as long as there is no word of God in you, you cannot shine as light. You cannot give what you don't have. Do you have the word of God richly? No wonder Paul told Timothy, study to show yourself approved, a workman that need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God. What is shining as light? If God has called you to shine as light in the area of teaching the word of God, and you don't study the word of God, what will you teach? When you say rightly dividing the word of God, Timothy need to study so that he can teach, he can preach the word of God to his congregation. Then another thing is that the word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. That's where we get it from. Then when we now, that's the scripture. It says in Proverbs chapter 6 verse 22, when thou goest, it will lead thee. When thou sleepest, it will keep thee. When thou awake, it shall talk with thee. These are what the word of God will lead you. The word of God will keep you. The word of God will make you talk. Another thing that is stopping this is that seeking worldly approval. The church is seeking the approval of the word. The individual Christian is seeking the approval of the word. Many believers are yet to have the truth that we are in the word, but not of the word. As Jesus affirms in John chapter 17, 14 to 16, we are struggling to please the word, live according to its standards. This is a violation of the word of God and steeps us in the very darkness we are in to shine as light. So you can be seeking the worldly approval and have the ability to shine. You cannot shine. When you want The world is filled with darkness, and you want to shine in darkness, and yet you are looking for the approval. So darkness should approve you first. That is what it means. If darkness didn't give approval. So, you see, the Bible again in Romans 12:2, it says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. So you cannot be conformed. The world is filled with darkness. You are conforming with darkness. You can't change the darkness. You can't transform the darkness. Now, another issue is that when you look at fear of persecution, many people refuse to shine as light because they are afraid of being persecuted. They hide their lies to protect themselves. God has given you light to shine in darkness. You come to a place where truth is lacking. People are always living in lies, in falsehood. You cannot stand your ground and say, this is evil. Why? Because you are only trying to protect yourself from what the people will say. You are afraid of suffering persecution.
It's break time already. And we want to talk about this seeking the world's approval. We want to talk about believers' failure to realize they are not of this world, even though they are in the world. You equally talked about the fact that Christians end up conforming to the pattern of this world instead of standing by the pattern of God so they can shine as light. Earlier, you also talked about the fact that some people start in the light and end in darkness. So why? So these are some of the things I want us to discuss properly, but that will be after this break. Now, if you just joined us, you are still listening to World Journey, where we'll learn how to embark on a life pursuit based on the Word of God. Today, we are looking at light of the world. We are studying the subject matter because Jesus Christ said, talking to his disciples who are in this world, that they are the light of the world. In another passage, you talked about the fact that you don't put on a light and hide it under a bushel. So what we want to do in this episode is to learn how do we shine as light in our world as Nigerians and as a member of your community, your town, your local government, as a member of even your field of study, because the world is not just the whole world, the world is everywhere. So we want to learn how to shine as light. That's what we're looking at today. And my guest has been Venerable Ihan Echukwu Ogbonna. When we come back after this break, we'll get into other aspects of this discussion, other practical aspects of the discussion, and follow up to some of the things he has said. So please stick around.
Ever since the first episode of World Journey debuted on 25th December 2022, God has helped the team release a new episode every week. By the strength and wisdom God provides, the World Journey team has expanded your options for accessing every episode. So, in addition to downloading all the episodes on the website ihanyobona.com, you can equally stream all of them on any of your favorite podcast platforms, such as Anchor FM, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Stitchers, Amazon Music, and Radio Republic. In fact, the team has made extra efforts to bring you the Word of God daily through channels we call Word Alive in the morning and Bedtime Rema in the evening. Our desire is that you have daily infusion of the Word of God, even in the midst of your busy schedules. So, if you want to get our weekly Word Journey, Daily Word Alive, and Bedtime Rema, please send WJ to 0803-7620-939 on WhatsApp.
Welcome back to World Journey. Like I said earlier, we're looking at the light of the world, and our focus is to understand how to go about this assignment Jesus Christ gave us, which is to shine as light. Before I went on the break, Venerable explained why a lot of Christians end up not shining as light. What shuts down their light? What makes their light not to shine? And I need some clarification on those issues. So, one of them is that you say that one of the reasons why Christians end up not shining as light, even though they have light, is that they are seeking the approval of the world. And so that's why they don't shine as light. So, let's look at a practical case where a believer actually wants to shine as light. But the world, he is ruled by the world. What I mean by ruled by the world is that a worldly person is his leader in the office. The worldly people, sometimes they make the final decision. Is he out of the place? And the person is really like, I can't, if I don't seek this person's approval, how do I make advancements? Is the person correct in that thinking? To say, why I'm seeking the approval of the world is because the world rules the world. So I need to get the approval to be able, I need their support. I need them to validate me. I need to be in their good book. Is he a correct way to reason?
It's not. If it is this, if it is in this world, we have hope. We are who? Most people, to be pitied. The hope of a Christian is not in this world. I'm going away. And if I go, Christ says he's going to do what? Build mansions. And he will come and take us, that where he is, there we may stay. Now, who do you seek his approval now? Darkness or light? Christ represents light. Evil represents darkness, or darkness represents evil, whichever way you look at it. And Christ says, I am the light of the world. Who do you seek approval? Any man that is in these terms, I say, you know, in spiritual times, it's not a matter of working in an office where you have an unbeliever and you seek his approval. If you seek his approval, he is the owner of the company, you need approval from him to spend 1,000 naira, and you refuse to seek that approval, you are committing sin. Yeah.
No, I'm talking about approval in the sense where they only approve bad things. Your song gets airplays, assuming you're an artist, when you start singing about shaking your, you know, all the vulgar words. So if the world, that's what the world approves, and you want to be a musician, and they say, if you don't do like that,
you will not be conformed with them. You are asked, this is the problem. There are so many Christian singers, worship leaders, that because you play worship song, and it seems the world is buying more of the worldly music, their satanic music. That's what I caption it. That is what is appealing to young men and young women. And so you want to, what is your motive? The driving force is money, and the love of money is the root of all evil. Is the love of money that will drive a worship leader in a church to go out there and start singing worldly music, the one that appeals to the world, for him or her to make more money? Because this is the simple thing, it's not to make more money and become popular.
The person says, and when I become popular, I will now use it to do
evangelism. Let me ask, you know Domwell?
Yes.
You know Ron Connolly?
Yes.
These are, let me say, foreigners now. You know Frank Edwards?
Yeah.
Are they not popular?
They are.
Are they not rich?
They are.
What are they singing? Praise and worship of God Almighty. And are they conforming to the worldly standard? By the simple standard we know, they are not, through the words of their songs and the ministration and impact it has on us. Now, this shows you that simply, we don't need to seek, they are not seeking the approval of men when they are worshiping God. They are not. They stood their ground that God Almighty must be worshipped through their songs. At the end of the day, people buy their albums, and it translates to money, and they are still rich, and they are going for evangelism. They are doing the work of the ministry. So we should stop deceiving ourselves. One of the greatest problems of man is to seek approval of men.
Okay, sir. You know, you talk, this seeking approval for men and conforming to the patterns of the world are very similar. Mm-hmm. So this is one another practical case of conforming to the pattern of this world. There's a Christian man who owns a school. Other schools around him are doing what they call miracle center arrangements. Common interest, they do magomago for the students to pass, WAEC, ESPO. They do all of these things. Now, the other students from other schools, they are all getting A's. This Christian student is losing students because she sees they teach well, they do their best to teach well, and the students are not getting AAA all through. Maybe they just get average. And because of that, she's losing customers. So she's feeling like, man, how can I just start like this? Nobody only me. After all, I'm not the one who spoiled Nigeria. Other people started it. I just don't want to lose customers. Is she thinking well?
She's not thinking well. The Bible says, do not be conformed to this world.
She's about to lose her business because customers are not coming.
You are losing business, but if you're losing business and gain yourself, what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Gaining the whole world is becoming rich, as far as I'm concerned, to that woman. You are losing your soul because you are losing your soul because you are conforming. He said, do not be conformed to this world. The world, this world here means a lot of it. To that woman that owns a school and looks at other school where they call miracle school. Miracle center. They do magomago. You know, you have used the word fraud, fraudulent activities, manipulations, crime to pass exams. Students will pass. After passing, what next? Get 10 A's and die and go to hell. And get 10 C's and go to heaven. Which is better? He said, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. That woman needs a renewal of her mind to know that success in academics do not translate to success in heaven. That certificates will not take us to heaven. And it says there, by testing, you may discern what is acceptable. You may discern the will of God. You may discern what is the will of God. Is the will of God for me to do examination malpractices, cause students to do what? To pass their exams in an illegal way. What is good and acceptable and perfect? These are the yardsticks to measuring my action as a school proprietor or proprietress. So, you must renew your mind. That is the center of the activity.
Okay. Now, in the event that I'm just a school principal who wants to shine as light and say, let's raise proper children. I'm using this school thing as an example to represent all that possible scenarios.
Okay.
And then I say, no, I'm standing for righteousness. I'm shining as light. Let's ensure that our young people are properly trained. And I'm not doing magomago. And the owner says, in that case, you have to go. What should I do?
I'll be glad to go. The Bible says it is better for you to be persecuted and for you to suffer as a Christian than an unbeliever. Yet in this life, there are schools that has hold firm to the teachings and standards of our Lord Jesus Christ. There are standards. Christianity as a way of life has standards. And part of it is righteousness and holiness. Manifestation. Why are you shining? You shine as light to stand for the truth of what God has deposited in you. No matter, see, shining as light cost life, cost job, cost businesses. If you refuse to cut corners in business, you may suffer for it. But God will give you the spirit of contentment. He wants to provide your needs and not your want. He makes you to be contented with what He has given you. And He says, I will make a way where there seems to be no way. There are other scriptures that you will hold firm to. And God will show Himself faithful because you will not be hungry.
In many of these kind of scenarios, what people hear, what Christians hear is that, are you the only one? Do you think you can change Nigeria? This one, you are just insisting. Other people are doing it. You are insisting. Can you change Nigeria?
You cannot change Nigeria. But if all of us, we do the right thing, at the right time, at the right place, we will change our environment. Why are we talking about Nigeria here? Let us first of all change the church. If there is enough light in the church, as we talk about, the church will be a different place. Are there no darkness in the church? There are people. Let me tell you simple. When a member of the congregation is seeking for the approval of the priest in all he or she does, and in so many times, these things are not in conformity with the scriptures, then what are you doing? I want to do this so that my priest will not be angry with me. Your priest will not be angry with you, but God will be angry with you.
Are we not supposed to obey a priest?
No, I'm not talking about obeying. Let your priest ask you to go and steal your father's money and come and give donation in the church. Go and obey him now.
Do priests say some things like that?
Directly or indirectly, there's something, actions you take. You're asking people to go and carry. No, you see, when you come to the church and they do church thing as if you don't bring money, you won't make heaven. If you don't sow seed, sacrifice. You know, one of the reigning things I have to be true, I have to make it clear now, is that when we hear about this covenant thing, they are taking it beyond the covenant we have in Christ, which is the greatest covenant. It looks as if you bring money, you service covenant. Because church wants to raise money, they use covenant and sacrifice as a topic, refusing that the greatest sacrifice is the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary, and no other sacrifice will be given. There are other better ways of getting money. You call it covenant. People should come and renew covenant. Renew what? Covenant with you, with the church, or with God. There is no renewal of covenant. The only covenant you will renew is you are being in line with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Covenant, better. The blood of Jesus Christ, a better covenant. Better than the blood of Abel. That is the only covenant we have. Trying always to be holy, righteous. The rest thing will come. If you are talking about right, renewal of covenant, it's renewal of your relationship with God. Are you still in line with what you believe first? Will you still reaffirm your faith? But not in terms of making money. Money has no place in being right with God.
Okay. The last point you made before we went on the break regarding why a lot of Christians don't shine as light is that they are afraid of persecution. Now, sometimes it's not because they just want to fear persecution. It's that persecution is really very hard and harsh. Imagine a situation where a boss tells a lady, every other girl does this thing, my damn. What is your problem? Just come and see me somewhere. The lady says, oh, no, it's against my faith. I'm keeping myself for my husband. It's a sin. And for that reason, the lady did not just get fired from a workplace. She got her image tarnished. Because maybe the man now starts spreading lies about her, all those kind of things. So the person said, no, let's just obey so that, I mean, my career will be rising.
Priority matters. Career is your priority. Heaven is not your priority. Your focus is on your career. Making heaven is not part of your focus. See, if these things are not written, Jesus says, promise to be with us even to the end of the age. Material gains. You know, when you read how the 12 apostles died, some were fried, you know, some were turned upside down, some were fed to the lions. If you look at how all of them were slaughtered, and yet at the point of death, they stood their ground. They are not afraid of persecution. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was not afraid of going into the furnace of fire. They told the king, even if our God, I like people reading that aspect of the scripture, they say, even if our God will not be able to deliver us from you, we will not worship this. That is the spirit. That is the spirit. Oga, if it means sacking me in this job, I will not do it. Period. Full stop. That man, even if he fires you, oh, we'll remember you one day. I met a child of God. They know. But when you fall to the temptation, they will still laugh. Look at them. And that is what this devil wants to do. There are people also that have retained their job because of sticking to the truth. These men and women knows the truth. They know. Jesus said, look, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. The Bible says, and you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, for the sake of being light. He promised that you'll be hated. But he that endured to the end will be saved. There is need for endurance. You are hated. You need to endure. The disciple is not above his master. He says, no servant is above the Lord. It is enough for the master that he be as, it is enough for a disciple to be as his master. So if himself is called Beelzebub, if Jesus was crucified, he refused to conform to the standards of this world. He refused, but he wanted to try. Why did you go to the cross? Man, when they were doing it, this simple persecution, trying to see whether he says, sorry, I'm sorry, I won't do it again. But he says, but rather fear him. The Bible, this is where we will be very careful about. And fear not them which kill the body. Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. But rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Everything is there in the Bible. We have no excuse for material gains on planet Earth. You want to compromise your faith. That is what it means. Because all these things are material gain. Why should I not be punished? You are a priest. You speak truth to power. You are a laity. You speak truth to power. And you are hated. Jesus said you will be hated. You will be persecuted. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. This is the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. He said you will be hated. That if himself was hated, you will be hated. You are not greater than him. I am not greater than him either. He's called Satan, Beelzebub. Then, no matter the name, no matter what they labeled you, a rebel, please accept it for the sake of the gospel. But be afraid of God is able to do what? Destroy both soul and the body. What those men will only do is to do what? Destroy the body. They can't destroy the soul. So why should you be afraid to shine as light? Where you are, in that little office, in your village, inside the church, you are afraid of what other people will say. You know why? What it bothers me is that people sit in the church, they know the truth, they will not say it. I want to keep to myself. What type of stupid holiness is there? What on earth made God to allow you to be part of hearing the truth? God revealed the truth to you, and you are afraid of speaking out because of what Mr. A or Mrs. B will say. You are in trouble.
But sir, for standing for truth like that, standing to shine as light like that, can make you hated. But sir, don't you think that the hatred can be so strong that once they mention your name, everybody will say, this boy, very rebellious boy. Mention your name, they say, this boy, you know, they listen. In fact, sometimes people term standing for righteousness as being stubborn. Because every other person has bowed to Baal, in quotes. And you are standing, they say, are you the only holy person? Now only you, they go church pass. So how about such? It does not look like you are just one trouble person.
Okay, we will read the scriptures now, 3 or 4, and we conclude. Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my ways in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed.
You added something in the scripture. Of this adulterous and sinful generation.
Yes.
Okay, you added it.
That's what is the scripture.
That's what is the scripture.
Yes.
Okay, read.
Mark chapter 8. Verse 38. Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation. This is he's describing a generation. Of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with his angels. Let's keep that scripture again. Then Jesus said unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up the cross. Look, whatever people are saying, deny yourself. They are talking to a dead man. Make yourself irrelevant. Men will speak, and I don't care what they say. He says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. What does he mean? Take up your cross. That is your cross. Your cross is that people will hate you. Yeah, people will castigate you, label you rebel, give you all sorts of names. It's a cross. Jesus said, take your cross and follow him. For whosoever will save his life. So what is my interest in trying to defend myself before men? He said, you will lose it. But if you lose your life for my sake, you will find it. Next, some other times, someone castigates or threatens to punish you for holding biblical views. Don't apologize. But respond like the apostles when the Jews warned them to desist from preaching the name of Christ. They were warned. What happened? But Peter and John answered, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God. That's the simple answer. Am I listening to you, man, or am I listening to God? That's it. Which one is better? You must judge, for you cannot speak of what we have seen and heard. You can't stop us from speaking out of what we have seen and heard. But the question is that, what have you ever seen? What have you heard? Child of God, have God given you a revelation that will make you stand your ground to resist evil? No matter who is involved, no matter who is involved now, you must have a revelation. That is that, what we have seen, what we have heard, ability to see and hear the word of God. You know, when they say it's a rhema, God gives you a revelation of the word. No man will take it away from you. It's better you are dead. That is what I am seeing in this place. And so you don't need to be ashamed. The world we are in is sinful. The world we are in is adulterous. That's the scripture. He said, do not whosoever will be ashamed. So don't be ashamed of what they will say. You know, we are playing religion. We are playing religion in the church. I'm sorry to say this. It's not Christianity. Christianity is bigger than religion and can never be religion. It's a way of life, different from what other people are doing. You must stand as light. There's difference between light and darkness. Once you enter, see, can't a Christian be known that once you step into a place where evil is being committed, everyone will keep quiet until you go away? You see a situation where your name will be mentioned. Say, don't do that in here. This guy is a no-nonsense person. He won't tolerate it. He's a Christian. They are telling lies. They say, no. Once he knows the truth, he will blow the truth open to the whole world. Can't you be known for that? And you are avoided for it. That is Christianity. You make a difference. You are known for truth.
Okay. Now, earlier you said that there are those who start in the light and end in darkness. You equally qualified it. That's backsliding. What makes someone who started with light, full of light of Christ, backslide?
You see, temptation and falling and refusing to rise up. See, that's simple thing. When the Bible says, do not take a hold of the plan and look back. The looking back is the backsliding. The only way to still come back is, let me give you an instance. Now, from the scriptures, you know the prodigal son?
Yes, sir.
Was he not of light before?
He was.
When he was in the kingdom of his father. Eh? When he decided his share of the wealth of the father and walked away and went there and spread it in riotous life, what did he do?
Backslided.
He backslided. And afterwards, when he came back to his senses, I pray, brother, sister, that you come back to your senses as the prodigal son. What happened? He went back to his father. Did the father accept him or not?
He did.
Thank you. That's the simple thing. While he was in his father's house, he was shining as light. But when he traveled to a far country, he started living a righteous life. That association of that way of life is what? But at the point, he has backslided. So, is he shining as light there?
Yes, sir.
And once you are not shining as light, you will always see yourself where they train pigs. You know what pigs depict? Death. And you know what death means in Christianity? A life filled with sin. But the Bible says, at that point, there's still hope. Come back to your senses. I will arise and go back to my father. I will say to him, I have sinned against heaven and earth and against you. And the father saw him from afar and embraced him. That is what God is expecting.
Does this repentance you are proposing apply to everybody, including the person who has been doing exam runs for her students, the Christian who has abandoned him, a Christian who abandoned Christ to get a job and all of that?
At any point, a child of God is coming back home. God is ever ready to accept you, no matter your sin. Though your sins be as dark as what? Coal. It shall be made white as snow. Who makes it white?
God.
Who forgives?
God.
And he says, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open the door of his heart, I will come in. He said, any man opening the door of his heart. When you talk about any man, any sinner, no level of sin is beyond forgiveness before God. Unless you want to sin against the Holy Spirit. But we waited there. But now, you are a killer. You are an armed robber. You acquire wealth from the wrong means. You acquire certificate from fraudulent activities in the school. No matter your sin, God will forgive you. When you come back to your senses and return back like the prodigal son.
At this point, we are bringing this week's edition of What Journey to a Wrap. It has been eye-opening for me. The whole follow-up question, in fact, I think you should listen to it again. Like, when you are done listening to this episode, listen to the questions again, those practical discussions, because like you know already, when we come together on Word Journey, we're not just trying to read Bible, we're trying to look at the scriptures to get a direction to how to live our lives. And one major takeaway from me from this episode is that no matter where you missed this shining as light, no matter where your light got quenched or you turned on the light, you can actually come back. And that is the beauty of our faith in Christ. That's the beauty of having Christ die for us on the cross. So please don't go pay penance. Please, he didn't say you should pay penance. He said, if any man can come back, that's a major takeaway for all of us from this episode. Thank you very much, Venerable Bona, for being our guest for today and teaching freely on Word Journey.
Thank you, and God bless you.
Okay. Word Journey comes your way again next week. But before then, please know that there are other previous episodes you can download. And they are all available on ihanyiogbonna.com. You can equally stream every single one of them. When you search for Word Journey or Ven Ihanyiogbonna on your favorite podcast platform, such as Teachers, Anchor FM, Spotify, Radio Republic, Google Podcasts, Amazon, there are a lot of them. And I think if you want to get a list of our podcasts, all the channels where you can listen to Word Journey, you should just go to ihanyogbonna.com/WJ. That's our Word Journey page. And then you should have all the link to all the channels where you can stream Word Journey. We'd like to hear from you. Do you have a question from what Venerable taught today? Is there something you want us to discuss? Were you blessed by this session? Please, we want to hear from you. Again, why I want to hear from you is that it assures us somebody is listening. It encourages us to know that God is using these words to bless people. If you want to send us email, please send it to wj@ihanyiogbonna.com. You can send your message, text message or WhatsApp to 003-7620-939. My name is Ifeanyi Chukwu Diwoke. Until we bring you an episode of Word Journey, may you continue to shine as light everywhere you are found. Ever since the first episode of Word Journey debuted on 25th December 2022, God has helped the team release a new episode every week. By the strength and wisdom that God provides, the Word Journey team has expanded your options for accessing every episode. So in addition to downloading all episodes of Word Journey on the website ihanyiogbonna.com, you can equally stream all of them on your favorite podcast platforms such as Anchor FM, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Teachers, Amazon Music and Radio Republic. In fact, the team has made extra effort to bring you the Word of God daily through channels we call Word Alive in the morning and bedtime rhema in the evening. Our desire is that you have a daily infusion of the Word of God, even in the midst of your busy schedule. So if you want to get our weekly Word Journey, Daily Word Alive, and Bedtime Rhema, please send WJ to 0803-7620-939 on WhatsApp.